conference muted.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. This is Naima Singletary, and I will be your host for today's Unapologetic Womanhood radio show. You know, this is so funny. Literally 1 minute ago, I was so deep in meditation, and it was so good that it snapped that I needed to get here, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go call in. But I was just clearing my space in my field and getting grounded so I could be here with you all today, and David and I can bring it as a collaboration. So, David, I'm looking for you on my screen. Are you there? Go ahead and put in your code, and if it gets too, you know, hard for you, just hang up and call back in, because sometimes people need to do that. So while David is making his way in, I'm going to go ahead and lay down house rules. So first of all, we're going to be here for an hour. This is being recorded. So if you want access to the recording, it's going to be in my private Facebook group. So if you go onto Facebook and you type Unapologetic Womanhood Radio Show, you should find the group very easily. I'm here every single Monday, same time, same place. I record all the shows. So if you want to see past shows or listen to past shows and listen to future shows, then you can go ahead and join the Facebook group. And then you'll also be reminded of every week of our guests and our topics and just other things that are going on in my world around sexuality and womanhood and intimacy and growing up. And then lastly, we're going to open up the lines about 30 or 40 minutes or so into the call. So if you have a question or a comment, I suggest, especially if it's a burning question or comment, that you write it down so that it doesn't leave you. And when I finally encourage folks to raise their hand to ask a question, you'll have your question or your comment right there in front of you so you can get that taken care of before we part today. So, David, I see you, darling. Hello. Can you hear me?
I'm doing well, yes. I was a little confused by all the technology, but I finally figured it out.
I know. It's like that sometimes. You're not the only one. So, welcome, dear. You know what? I just realized I don't have your bio in front of me, but I'm going to get it in front of me. Hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, so before I officially welcome you, David, so glad to have you here, I want to just set a tone of who I am and then, you know, introduce you officially, because I want folks who don't know you to have a chance to hear me talk about you a little bit and how I even got to inviting you here today. So, like I said earlier, I'm Naima Singletary, and I created this Unapologetic Womanhood radio show first and foremost for me to have a playground to talk about what I believe as it relates to what's required for women to grow up, to be in relationship with themselves, to be in relationship with men, other people, and really leading, being the leaders of their lives. So first of all, that's why I created the Unapologetic Womanhood radio show. My experience in the world, you know, from young, I've always been very expressive, and, you know, I was reading poetry when I was 7 in front of adults for money. And I was very much into fashion and speaking a lot and very just expressive. Yet I was raised by a very conservative mother. So my expression was often choked unconsciously by her. And so, you know, as I became a teenager and those hormones got to raging and I'm, you know, being, you know, touched by the world in a different way, expression got lost in translation, and it started to come out in very unhealthy ways. And so at 18, really 16, I had to make the decision to transform my life and ended up going into the academic realm and have always been entrepreneurial. And so at 21, I started my own business selling designer handbags at strip clubs in San Francisco and Las Vegas, went into direct sales, always did really, really well in leadership roles and sales roles and roles where I had to just make it happen, and got introduced to the personal development world when I was 23, you know, the main guys that I think a lot of us hear about when we get introduced to the field, like the, you know, Bob Proctors and the Jim Rohns and the Zig Ziglars and the Les Browns, masculine, you know, many of them very masculine type of approaches. And so 3 years ago, so I was continuing along entrepreneurial, and I built, you know, a fashion marketing company, very successful, sold that company in 2011, and was really guided, you know, by a force, God, to enter the transformation space, though I did not know it as the transformation space at the time. I just was really guided by this hand. And so when I came into this space, my world of, you know, developing myself and growing up and designing my life and getting to know the depths of me, world has been crazy rocked in ways that just reading a personal development growth book could not do. And so over the last 3 years, I have done so much work by choice and by just being in the field and like being pulled and yanked by spirit, that has really caused intense self-reflection. I mean, going into the corners of my soul that I would have didn't even think about 5 years ago. And, you know, as I've been in this space over the last 3 years of growing up into my own version of womanhood, I am reminded time and time again that women really require a very large space and almost like no container. You know, we talk about a container, like almost like no container, to really grow up into the version of her womanhood, her leadership, whether she's an entrepreneur, a mom, you know, a CEO, whatever. And so here at the Unapologetic Womanhood Radio Show, I bring in both men and women who I feel like, one, are leading their own path of being their own version of man or a woman who I like and respect and feel like they have something to contribute. And so they can bring what it is that they have. You know, we can go back and forth and we can banter about these things. So David and I met on LinkedIn. And he told me about his book, How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls, which as soon as I saw that, I loved it before I even read the book. So he mailed me the book, and I've had a chance to read some of the book, David, and it's fantastic, and I'm just loving the truth of it. I'm loving the whole, you know, one thing I was reading about 20 minutes before this call was about holding on to ejaculation and delaying gratification and having that kind of control to be in real deep love making and groundedness with your partner. And then your chapter on choosing a goddess, you know, and so, you know, a man who knows how to be in relationship with a woman and a woman who knows how to be in relationship with a man is of supreme importance. And what I know from my own experience of being just ridiculously masculine and not allowing a man to have his position and then messing up over and over and over again in that way and then learning and feeling my way through it and learning how to be so in my womanhood and relaxed in that, that a man just rises naturally. This is where I'm wanting to go in today's conversation. And so before we, you know, go into that, I want to officially introduce David, and I'm going to do that by reading your bio. So David Bruce Leonard is a deep ecologist, body worker, Qigong practitioner, acupuncturist, martial artist, and plant lover. He has studied medicine with teachers in Asia, North and South America, and Hawaii. David believes that our health and the meaning of our lives are inseparable from our interactions with the natural world. He has worked in a bank, on an oceanographic whale search vessel, and has been seen in public attempting to dance Argentine tango. David is available for workshops and consultations, which he'll tell you more about later at the end of our call, and he can also be found at earthmedicineinstitute.com. David is also the author of the book, How to Worship the Goddess and Keep Your Balls. So without further ado, thank you for being here as I welcome David Bruce Leonard.
Good morning, Naima. How are you? I just heard how you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And I'm actually where I am. The reception sometimes gets wonky. So if you can't hear me at some point, tell me, please, because sometimes I can hear you and you can't hear me. So I don't want to be talking and you can't hear me. But, yes, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
All right. I'm good. It's 7 o'clock here, so I'm just waking up. But things are, doing very well.
Good. So are you high on the coffee?
It's working. The synapses are slowly starting to fire, yes.
Wonderful. Well, you know, we're all busy. We all have lives. We have things that we like to do, and, you know, we choose where we give our attention. So I'm just incredibly grateful that you say yes to being here today. And so one thing that there's a part that I want to talk about today of a woman being in her womanhood, and I'm going to speak from that because I just have so much perspective on that and the point of view. The one thing that I feel like I want to hear what's the one thing you specifically want to discuss today, whether it's relating to your book, something that just hit you over the weekend. What's something that's really hot and relevant right now as it relates to male, female, sexual relating that you'd like to discuss today?
God, that's a good question. There's so much material. I think that the ability to there's a language of a feminine and there's the language of the masculine, and that we don't recognize that our partner may speak a different language. I mean, there's even different languages between individuals, but very specific languages that are, in other words, I may have what they call a love map. My love map may be that I need my partner to do certain things in order for me to be loved, and another man may have a different love map. But also between genders, there's often generally, not always, but generally a different kind of way of cueing. So you as a woman you may need a man to act or do things in a certain way in order for you to be loved. And men in general oftentimes need women to act in certain ways in order to be loved. And oftentimes we don't understand that our partner is speaking a different language, and we don't bother to learn it. We just assume that there's something wrong with them rather than seeing that there's something wrong with us because we don't learn their language.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I've tried to do is to learn the language of the feminine, which is why I created Rivers of Love. I mean, aside from just wanting to have really wonderful lovemaking, I found a field where that overlaps. There's a way that men and women can make love that satisfies both parties. Mm-hmm. And that's why all the body work and stuff in there. I also found that I wanted to combine almost something, it's a little weird, but something that's almost therapeutic, so that I can work on my partner in a therapeutic way in a highly aroused state, because that arousal opens the tissues of the body up in an amazing fashion. And obviously you can't do that in a clinic. But with a partner or a lover, my partner and I can work on each other in a way that completely opens up our bodies and our frames of reference. And it takes sex to a whole nother level.
Wow.
Did I answer your question?
It's a lot of material.
It is a lot of material.
And multiple pieces jumped out at me. So there's the love language part that you talked about. Then there's the kind of sex where, because, you know, you talked about where both parties are pleased, and that's so important. And gosh, I want to go there. So let's go there. When we talk about, so I'm of the belief that when a woman totally relaxes into the pleasure of sex, that the man is automatically pleased. He pleases her, she wants to please him. It's like this circle of pleasure.
Exactly.
And so I'd love to hear what you have to say about, and perhaps an example will come to mind in my world, because I love to teach through story. But whether it's something that you've experienced or have written about as it relates to, like, an example of a woman really relaxing and surrendering to the pleasure of sex, and how that naturally feeds the guy, which feeds the woman, and then she wants to, you know, it just all works itself out. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. When I teach erotic body work and to couples, four couples, and when I teach, I only work with a model or a lover, depending on who's there, but I don't touch anybody else in the group, so couples are exclusive. But when we do teach that work, one of the things we teach is that when a man is, so basically it's deep tissue body work for lovers that is a ritual. It functions as a ritual. So we're creating sacred space. And one of the things we teach the men is to circle in for a landing. In other words, the place the man wants to touch first, he touches last.
Mm.
So if I'm working on a woman and I'm doing erotic body work with a lover, the place I want to go is straight to her pelvis. That's it. That's where I want to go first, right? Because I'm a guy, right? That's it. That's where it's all happening is down there. But that's the place I go last. So in the Rivers of Love work, it's about the intention. If I'm giving to a partner, it's for her. So I do what we call circling in for a landing. So I just work everywhere except the yoni, everywhere, and I just get closer and closer, and that takes a lot of time. So there's a lot of time spent, what's normally called foreplay, but this is something else. This is a kind of a total body experience where a woman feels really held and nourished and seen. Now, when we teach the woman giving to a man, we do the opposite, because the man wants a woman to focus on his pelvis immediately, so we do what we call spiraling out for a takeoff. So the woman will go straight to the pelvis and then works outwards. That actually can be an extremely powerful experience because, well, men like this work because there's a lot of oil and our whole bodies are, there's contact with our whole body with a lover. Women like it because it's incredibly sensual and it's not just about, sex. I was trained in Taoist traditions, and in Taoism we say that, a man emanates from his pelvis. And a woman emanates from her chest. So if you can imagine a couple facing each other, the man's yang goes from his pelvis. He wants to go straight from his pelvis to hers. A woman's yang goes straight from her chest. She wants to go straight into his heart first. So a woman's yoni is in her pelvis. A man's yoni is in his chest. And once you understand that, and I'm generalizing obviously, but once you understand that, it's much easier to navigate opposite gender relationships. Now, if I'm with a woman and we're first together, the first place I want to go to is her pelvis. That's me. I'm a guy. It's a yang experience. I have a yang body, but if I want to go to her pelvis, I have to go through her chest and down. As a woman, she emanates from her chest. She wants to go straight to my heart. She has to go through my pelvis and then up. You following that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's a sort of a simple way of translating what the dynamic that's already happening, but it just becomes lucid. Like, oh, okay, I want to go there. I can't go there right away, so I'm going to go through her chest.
Mm.
I'm going to address her heart first. She wants to connect to my chest. She's going to want to connect to my pelvis first. And hopefully in all of this, there's some kind of balance and reciprocity that happens.
I like how you said hopefully there's some reciprocity in this. On which side?
Both sides.
Right. Yeah, of course.
The man
as you're talking.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
No, as a man I have to, it's about understanding the language of the other. I need to
mm-hmm.
understand the language of the feminine. So if I want my partner to be happy, I have to speak her language. If I'm with a lover and I want her to be happy, I have to understand her language. If I just assume that she is like me and she just wants to go straight for the pelvis, it ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants to understand me and understand that and thinks that I just want to go straight for her heart, it's not going to work either.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, in my mind and in my experience also is that, and my mom is coming to mind right now too, you know, when each partner seeks to make the other happy or to please the other, and you know, when you talk about going into the pelvis versus going into the heart, like my idea as a woman of pleasing a man, you know, it's different from his idea of pleasing me.
Exactly.
So, for example, you know, you talk about the man wants you to go straight for the pelvis. I know that I can please. My lover walks through the door. He's pleased if after he gets out the shower, I just go give him a blowjob. That's him being pleased, okay?
Exactly. That's flowers mm-hmm. for a man.
Yes.
Blowjob is flowers for a man. Like, oh, honey, you shouldn't have.
Yes, right? There, right?
Right.
So for
right.
me, him pleasing me is not the same way. I get out the shower and you want to come and eat my pussy. I mean, like, nice, wonderful, right? But it's not closing the deal. It's not making me like, you know, I want to give myself to you. It's not touching me.
Right.
And so what I find is when we start talking about this reciprocity thing, as a woman, so I'm speaking from the female perspective, is that when I recognize that what he's doing is aiming to please me, even if he's getting it wrong, because you guys just do that, right? We have to show you in this process, right? Like,
yeah.
But when I can sense that his intentions are to please me, then, you know, I open up, I'm surrendering, I'm relaxing into it, I'm teaching him, and then he's touching my heart. So then it makes me in turn want to turn around and do things to make him happy, whether it's
right.
giving him more blowjobs or whatever it is that he wants me to do.
Right.
So, you know, when I talk about this whole a woman in her position of woman. I know people are very sensitive to roles because we're going through a time right now where people want to totally redefine tradition and roles. And so I'm not even talking about traditional roles when I'm talking about the role of a woman. I'm talking about a place that is very natural for a woman that requires less thinking and more being and feeling. This is what I mean when I talk about the role of a woman. And so when a woman is in her role of a woman, I'm talking about, first of all, relaxing, not trying to be in this hyper-planning mode. You know, my experience coming from a household with a single mom who was raising three kids, ended up being five because she took on her sister's two kids, who, you know, we moved four times by the time I was 18. She moved every single house with no movers, no moving truck, working full-time job, just making it happen all. I picked up all that energy and messaging and went on into my own life. I'm not a mother, I don't have kids, but in the entrepreneurial space, just planning and working my ass off and making it happen and going forward. And in relating to a man, that is not a woman being in her woman. A woman's role is to, in relating with a man, it's to really relax and be more in a place of grace, relaxation, responding based on grounded feeling versus this either sporadic or let me do it, let me fix it, let me answer it, let me. So I have found in my own experience that the more that I relax, the more that I surrender to the man's experience, even if his, you know, or behavior, even if his behavior is ridiculous, I have found that my being and my essence can even calm that down with the man. And this is what I mean by when a woman is in her womanhood, the man rises, even if he's an asshole. Like,
yeah.
I have been in situations with guys. I was at a club, not a club, it was a restaurant. It was a social event at this restaurant about 2 months ago. Wait, okay, 4 months ago, because I ended up running to him again later. But we were at this social event, and there were bar tables. We were at the back of a restaurant outside, and there were bar tables all over the place. And it was me and a woman, and we were talking, and this guy came over. Cute guy, too. And he wasn't graceful with the way he entered the conversation, first of all. He just kind of, like, came over like a damn blowhorn. You know those people.
Right.
And so I'm okay. I'm noticing what he's doing, and I'm not reactionary like that. I'm, you know, especially in environments like that, I'm chill. And you know, a woman, this is what she does. She doesn't react. She responds. She waits. She pays attention. So he comes in, and we let him come in. He's talking. So then he asked me a question. I answer the question, and then he talks some more, and then he asked me the question that he had already asked me that I had already answered. So then I say to him, because he's telling me about his girlfriend, and because we're talking about sex and women and men, all this, and he is clearly not listening. I mean, like, clearly not listening to me, asking me the same questions he already asked me, cutting me off, right? And so still, I'm not getting, you know, erratic about it, because I recognize this is not about me. And I just want to watch this play out if I just stay in my woman. So finally, I realized that he wasn't getting it, and I wanted us to evolve to the next stage of wherever that was going to go. I said to him, I said, I hope you listen, friend, more than you're listening to me right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then so he got upset, and he's like, oh, so you smell like single. I mean, this guy was a true asshole, okay?
Right,
and these are some of my favorite people because, like, I learn with these people. When it's easy, it's easy. But when you get these difficult people, it's a great opportunity to, like, rise in it. So he's like, I smell single. So then I go to respond, and he cuts me off, and he starts talking to the woman who I was originally talking with. So then he and her are talking for a few moments, and I'm just quiet. I'm just like, I want to really be a part of this and see how this plays out. So then he comes back to me, and he asks me a question. He's something about my business or something he asked me. And I say to him, I say, do you really want to know? And he's like, yeah, I really want to know. So I tell him I'm a sex coach and something else I say, I can't recall. And then he paused. He has like this pause because he doesn't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, right. What am I going to say to that, right?
Yes. So he pauses and he's just like, wow. Okay. So what is that? And, you know, right? He's asking me these questions, et cetera, et cetera. And then so we start to talk. So I continue to engage with him as if the whole drama never happened. Okay. So I'm engaging.
Right.
We're going. And so before you know it, he's calling people over to the table, right? So he's introducing me to people, et cetera, right? So that's like half the story. A month later, we run into each other at this same event. He hugs me. We talk. He starts telling me about all his relationship problems and, you know, what he hasn't been able to do and how he's enrolled in these classes so he can relate better with women and how he's so fucked up and he judges himself so much and he notices that he judges so much and he judges women so much and women can feel it and it sucks because he hates that he does that. I mean, like, he's getting into detail about his relationship drama and how fucked up that he knows that he is and how much he wants to fix it.
Yeah.
And so we have, like, this 20-minute conversation in the middle of this event where we're there to network and meet other people, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time that's over, we, like, have this, like, one of those hugs that needs a story, like I'm telling you now, okay?
Right.
So because as we're talking, I'm sitting on a stool, and he's standing there to my left. And so when we're done talking, I stand. We hug body to body. I mean, like, deep breath together, okay, like, in the hug for a good, I don't know, 10 seconds. And 10 seconds is a long time to be in a hug with
a stranger, you bet.
Yes, yes. So, you know, that was we had that. It was like butter. I mean, it was like the perfect chocolate croissant. It was perfect. And to me, you know, it was a really good example of when a woman is fiercely in her woman. Because see, the girl would have been like, "You asshole," or, you know, threw a drink in his face or ran off or sort of like met him in that. And I have just found that when a woman just really relaxes, even when it's turbulent and it's, you know, hurting and uncomfortable, that if she remains calm and she responds instead of reacting and like allowing a man to do whatever he does, or a woman, and then responding from a place of like grace and care. And I'm not saying it's easy either. Like, there's plenty of times when I've met people in that space and gotten erratic with them. But in this instance, I just thought it was a great story to share about what happens when a woman stays in her woman.
Yeah, you know, there's my former partner and I, we teach women self-defense, and we've created this whole body of work around high adrenaline states. You know, Viktor Frankl, the great writer, said, "My freedom is in the gap between stimulus and response." In other words, that guy acts like an asshole to you, and the more time you have, the bigger the gap between that stimulus of him being an asshole and your response, the more freedom Naima has. But that's not just for women, that's for men too. That, you know, being in all trauma, all physical and psychological trauma is created in a high adrenaline state. So one of the my hallucination is one of the tricks to navigating life in general in relationships, as you say, responding, not reacting, right? In order to do that, I have to control my own nervous system. I have to not allow the adrenaline that's coming up to run me, you know? That's actually the same thing when making love. It's the same process. Arousal is parasympathetic. It's the opposite of adrenaline. It's acetylcholine, so that's a more sedated state. Orgasm is sympathetic. Orgasm or ejaculation is a sympathetic response. So in relationship, if I'm with a lover and that lover, it pisses me off, which partners do, right? They piss us off. If I can not succumb to that adrenaline and not let it run me, then I'm able to navigate that. That's what we call maturity, right? It's not following impulse. If I can do that while making love, I can delay orgasm, delay ejaculation, and that allows more space. If a woman's in a situation or a man's in a situation where they're physically being threatened, that adrenaline is fuel. But when we teach the self-defense, we don't let it run us. We hold back. We respond but don't react in a very specific way. And then if we need to, we cut loose with the adrenaline, you know. So a lot of this stuff, for me, a lot of this stuff is about navigating our own nervous system. And it kind of applies to so many different things in life and certainly so many different things with lovers. Does that make sense? I realize I was kind of bouncing all over the board, but.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to hear more about, which is such, it made me think of one of my Facebook friends, Destin Garrett. Do you know Destin?
Not personally.
I feel like you guys should know each other because he and I had a conversation, and he talks a lot about the power of a man holding his ejaculation. And both from the point of being able to be in making love longer with his partner and pleasing her, but also from just a place of power and control. And I'd love to hear you talk more about that because you've mentioned that several times here already. And premature ejaculation is a real problem. I mean, I've experienced it, obviously. And I say obviously because any woman who has sex long enough is going to experience it because it's so common. That, you know, any woman who has just a few partners, at least one of them is going to ejaculate prematurely. And so I'd love to hear you talk more about what causes that, and then how men can learn to calm themselves down so that they can both please their partner and just be more powerful.
Right. Well, it's a learned response, right? So it's just basically it's just practice. You know, it's not. I mean, because I've been doing this. I've been doing sacred sexuality since I was a teenager, and I'm 58 now, so I don't even think about it because my body kind of does what it does.
Well, you're a master. You got a lot of people to teach. I'm telling you, a lot of men.
Thank you. I'm not a master, but thank you. Yeah. So the because ejaculation is adrenaline based. It's based on a sympathetic response in the body. It's kind of the same process, you know. If there's the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest, and then and it's also called feed and fuck, right? Rest and digest, feed and fuck. That's the relaxed, calm state. Then there's the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight or freeze. Right? That's when we're pissed off, pumped up, scared shitless, right? So when if a man is stressed out, if he's in a sympathetic response, he won't get an erection, or he'll ejaculate too quickly. He'll go straight into ejaculation. A lot of premature ejaculation, I believe, is just from not navigating that adrenaline well, not navigating the stress. So, and of course, performance anxiety is going to make it more, right? So if he's really worried about not ejaculating too soon, he's going to ejaculate too soon. So it's a bit of a double bind. Right? And the same thing with a woman. If she's not, if she's really stressed out, if she's in a really a sympathetic state, an adrenalized state, nothing's going to happen. You know, she's not even going to be present because she's going to be stressed. There has to be that parasympathetic state in order to get into an erotic state, you know, into a state where there's this flow and there's this, and that's what creates polarity, right? Is that parasympathetic relaxed state, and pretty soon there's like two magnets just pulling towards each other. I love that. Amazing. So for men, I mean, that is an important piece, you know, learning not to ejaculate too quickly. And I think it requires a sympathetic partner, and it requires a man who's willing to just experiment. You know, one of the things about us guys is we have to know everything. We have to be right all the time. And if we can just accept the fact that we don't know everything, we're not right all the time, and, you know, we can learn to please our partner. It's just practice and just learning to... We teach a thing called still point, which is... we teach this both when we're teaching self-defense and when we're teaching sacred sexuality. And I also teach it in my herb classes because it's a precursor to gathering plant medicines. We teach people how to drop into a parasympathetic state very quickly. Mm. And in doing that, we can actually people to control their own nervous systems. And, so that's kind of my take on that. And I just want to say that just not ejaculating too quickly does not make you a good lover, right? It just means that you're not ejaculating quickly. There's so many other pieces than that. From a Taoist perspective, though, orgasm and ejaculation are in separate parts of the nervous system. You can ejaculate without having an orgasm, and you can have an orgasm without ejaculating as a man. They're actually separate. You can train yourself to do one or the other, and to separate them out. But from a Taoist perspective, when we don't ejaculate and we make love a lot, and we don't I'll probably ejaculate maybe one out of every three or four sessions, lovemaking sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese have all these kind of myths about that being, you know, the essence of life and stuff. But it's really, from my perspective, it's really about increasing the testosterone levels in our bodies. If we make love a lot and we don't ejaculate, while still properly taking care of our prostate, but if we make love a lot and don't ejaculate, we're healthier and happier. I guess that's what Destin is calling power, right? When our hormones are balanced as men... If we're constantly ejaculating, it's fine. It won't hurt us. But we're going to be happier and healthier if we learn not to. and just let and feel that in our body. You know, we somatize that. We let that eroticism stay with us throughout the day, and we become vital, and we become vibrant, and it's much easier to connect to people, you know. So
there's lots of
really good reasons not to ejaculate as a man, and not just to please our woman. That's important, to be a good lover.
Right.
But there's so much more, and there's very specific ways to do that. There's herbs you can take and practices you can do to protect your health while you're doing that.
And what would make a man want, what are some of the reasons why a man would want to hold? Because I'm not even a guy, but for whatever reason, I'm just hearing men like, what? Not ejaculate,
right.
You know?
What the fuck
like,
you
that's
talking
part
about,
of the
right?
purpose.
Yes. Right.
So why would any normal guy who's in it to win it, you know, when he gets hot and that dick gets to going, he wants to come, baby. Why would he want to hold that? What are the reasons why?
God, I don't know. It's kind of like, why would, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, some of it is like, well, I know some guys that kind of think of women as being kind of vampires and stealing their power. I don't, that doesn't work for me. But, you know, honestly, it's because it gives us power. It gives us power not as in controlling the world, but when men do that, or when I do that, I should say, when I, you have to experience it. You have to, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure. I don't know why, you know, well, for one thing, you'll get laid a lot more because you'll get a reputation for being a good lover. But also, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sort of in my own kind of world in this, and I don't, I'm not sure.
Well, let me ask, thank you for being honest about that. Let me ask you this. This is what my senses are telling me, that if a man learns to practice holding the erection, that will offer him a kind of creative power in the world. So let's say he's a CEO, he's a leader, or he's an artist, right? Or he just has something that he's responsible for, that he cares about, that he, you know, is creating or doing or leading or writing or facilitating or whatever, and he's learning how to hold these erections. I imagine that he would be able to channel that energy. Obviously, this would be learned, but he could really channel that into all of his relationships, because it's like this stored up, it's like a storehouse of power. This is what I'm imagining. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying my wisdom is telling me that this is perhaps what it could be, and I want to hear what you have to say just listening to me say this, that when he holds the ejaculation, that it's like a storehouse of power. And so, like, if he's managing a team of 50 or 5, whatever, that he now has this creative power, you know, his semen, he can distribute that creatively as he's working with his team, his sales team, if he's a painter, an artist, a musician, that he can channel that into his work. I'm imagining that it would give him that kind of ability.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's right. That's spot on. You know, there's... one of the things is men, you know, there's a saying that desperation is the world's worst cologne, right?
Mm.
If a man is around a woman and he gets desperate, it's a complete turnoff for a woman, right? So
yep.
when we work with couples, we talk about the men not leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And you could interpret that as leaking semen, but also it's not leaking, not appearing desperate.
Right.
Just holding his space and being strong in himself. So if I'm around, I'm 58, I'm attracted to beautiful young women. If I'm around a beautiful young woman and I'm leaking and I'm kind of sliming her, it's freaking creepy, right? But if I don't leak, if I hold, I can feel her, my attraction to her. I don't even have to look at her, but I can allow my body to feel that attraction, but I don't have to give in to it, right? I don't have to. So that's the gap between stimulus and response. So the same thing with making love and not ejaculating. If I can carry that into my daily life, I'm not leaking. I'm holding my space. I know who I am. I don't have to react to people. I don't have to apologize for who I am, and I don't have to be arrogant. I can just hold it in a way where I'm rooted and humble and earth-based. And just that, I think that's spot on. I think that's exactly right. And that's actually the dynamic that happens. You know, when we're children, we do things impulsively, right? One of the one of the signs of a healthy adult is not giving in to temptation, not just reacting and not just being impulsive, but doing things in a way that we hold our power, and then we can take that power, like you say, and put it into all different areas of our life.
Yeah, that's huge. I feel like I'm doing that all the time. You know, it's like, how does a person get to that place? Because we live in a world, and gosh, David, I feel like I could talk to you for so much longer, and I just look at my, we have like 15 minutes. But I'm thinking to myself, in this world where we're busy and we have, you know, so much available to us, and it's so easy to sort of flutter above the surface of things and live above the surface of things, that what has caused me to get to a place of really practicing controlling my impulses and still having them, but not just, you know, being at the counter grabbing stuff, and it's just, you know, what has caused me to care enough to practice, to have the discipline to practice, is feeling like I'm being shoved around, like almost like I don't have a magnet, you know, not being able to attract, not being able to have any impact or, you know, affect situations, because I'm just kind of like sporadic all over the place, and I'm like the loose cannon, so I can't process things because I'm like all over the place, or I'm just not on the ground, so I can't really shoot my energy anywhere because I'm not like grounded to be able to look.
I think that's literally true. I think, do you remember when you were talking to the guy in the bar? Remember, and he was acting like an asshole. Do you remember what it felt like in your body when you made a choice not to react?
Absolutely. I felt so, it was such a conscious choice. It was like.
Right, right. So do you remember any sensations in your body when you were doing that?
You want to, what was the feeling in my body?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like calm. Like initially it was like, whoa, you know? And then as soon as that happened and like the choice presented itself of how I'm going to respond, I remember consciously saying, slow down, just wait a minute, pause right here. Like, this is the conversation I'm having with myself. Pause.
Right, so you're doing that right now, right? You're remembering that moment. I don't know, I'm guessing that what's happening is your face is relaxing and your energy and your awareness is sinking down into your torso and into your belly. Is that what's happening?
Whole body, yep.
Right. But the energy is moving down, right?
Mm-hmm. More like a fullness, though, because I don't know if it's down. More like a fullness, like my whole body became involved in
the feeling. Okay, okay.
Pardon?
And your body is filling and you're relaxing.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. See, from my perspective, that physiological response is, well, it's dropping into a parasympathetic space, but that's also, that's, if you, every time you want to react, we want to react, we do that, we can train ourselves to instinctively do that in our bodies, and my belief is that is maturity. That's what all tribal traditions have wanted for their elders. They want their elders not to react, to respond, right? That's the beginning of wisdom. So that place of using our bodies as I'm not even sure it's how to say it. It's like using our body as a, it's both a map and it's also a tool for getting peace of mind. You know, if I'm constantly reacting, people get to run me. They can get me to do anything they want just by pissing me off.
Totally.
Right?
And I was that, like, I was somebody who was a serious road rage person. You see what I mean?
Ah, right, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm telling you, like, it's that's why I asked you earlier, like, why would somebody even get into the discipline of doing these things? Like, at some point you exhaust yourself. Like, I exhausted myself just being ridiculously sporadic and
right.
realizing how small I was playing. Like, I think I'm rushing and hurt and whatever. But really, I was just playing so incredibly small. And
right.
so this place of being able to lean back, and it's a practice. I mean, literally, it's
yeah,
a practice.
You just said it. You just said it, right? You said lean back, right? That's something
yeah.
that you do, I imagine you do in your body. I bet you at that moment when you made a choice not to react to that guy, you leaned back a little bit. I bet
mm-hmm.
you anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Lean back.
So that's a cue, right? That's the way you drop into this parasympathetic state, this relaxed state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'd love to. Do you talk about the parasympathetic state in your book?
No. No, that's something that we teach when we're doing sacred sexuality and self-defense. But no, I don't talk about that. I talk about it in a roundabout way. I talk about it in terms of well, it's really getting our balls back.
getting them back because you they've been they're being stripped
giving
from
them
you
away,
daily.
You know? Yeah. One of the things I say in the book is if you no matter how nasty a lover may get, I choose no matter how mean or nasty, because we can hurt each other, right? No matter how mean
mm-hmm.
or nasty a lover may be to me, I don't go there. Because she can go down into the gutter. I'm not going to go into the gutter. That's not who I am. That's an incredibly powerful place to work from, right? That's getting one's balls back or one's ovaries back, one's vagina, right? Because you as a woman, if somebody's being an asshole to you and you do what you do, you lean back, you rule.
Yeah, and practicing this with someone who really triggers me is what excites me. Because it's easy to do it with somebody who's not,
exactly.
you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, because it's easy to do it with
right.
somebody who's not aware. Yeah, but, like,
yeah,
I have a lover now. Yeah, I have a lover now who totally triggers me. Like, and I'm practicing daily with the – like, literally, this morning, I was having a conversation with myself about practices I'm going to practice when we're together later this afternoon because it's just – it's so high. And what I'm flushing out is how much of this is – how far can I go? How deep can I go in myself and sort of like have that can hold us both that where I can get him to see himself without me actually saying anything about it, you know, or
right.
very little words. And how much of this is just he is just who he is, not like he wants to stay that way and he's committed to staying that way. And this is not even about getting him to change. Like, I don't need him to change. Like, you are who you are. What I'm saying is, how much can I be affected without going crazy, without, like, rising up and turning into a witch?
Exactly.
Not,
and that's the yoga, yeah. you know. And I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, and I use that in, like, as if witch is a bad thing, but more so like this turning into this crazy woman who's out to cut his balls off, you know.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and so I think it's really good up to a point, and at some point we just bail, you know, if it's too much. Like, I just ended a 4.5-year monogamous relationship because I was getting, you know, at first it was a yoga, and after 4.5 years of getting triggered, I'd done my work, and I learned so much from that relationship. I still love her deeply. But it was like it wasn't, you know, so I think it's really good to use people that piss us off as a yoga, as a path. At the same time, I think it's
totally.
Fine to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I need a friggin'
It
break.
Is. It is. And, you know, I'm definitely practicing that in this and how much of this is, am I going to stick around, you know? And there's so much
yeah,
more
and
to it,
and
obviously.
How far, and once it betrays our core values, then to me, when I've compromised myself so much, the world's going to throw shit at me. I don't have to go looking for it. But it's good. You're right. It's really good to use that as a practice.
So we have 5 minutes left. And so I have to admit, last week's call, I was telling people to push, I think it was star 2. I think it's supposed to be star 5 because I had a woman, she was raising her hand and I didn't see it. So push, and I just realized I didn't get clear on that. So push either star 2, I think it's star 5 though. Push star 5 to raise your hand if you have a question. We have 5 minutes left. And while I'm letting people do that, David, share with us how, we have 4 minutes left, share with us how folks can get a hold of you if they either want to buy your book or just find out more about what you're about. What, how can they find
out? They can go to earthmedicineinstitute.com and they can buy the book there, or they can get it on Amazon. And on September 12th, I'm going to be teaching in Poland at the first International Reunion of Sexuality and Consciousness, September 12th to 14th. And then after that, we're going to be doing post-conference. Right. I'm going to be doing a post-conference workshop on erotic body work for couples. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if anybody is in Europe or wants to come to Europe for that, and yeah, my website is earthmedicineinstitute.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And I was checking out your website again this morning, and it, you did good. I don't know if you chose the colors and the whole feel of it, but, you know, Earth and Institute and the colors and the feel on your website, it's a really good alignment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's I really like that website. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so that's earthmedicineinstitute.com, just like it sounds. And so for those of you who want to get to know me more, I'm on Facebook, Naima Singletary, and you can also find the link to the Academy for Womanhood's blog there. And at the Academy for Womanhood, we're really about teaching girls how to be women. A lot of people think that, or women, females, think that if we have a vagina and a husband and kids and a mortgage that we're women, and that's not true. The truth is a woman... You know what I'm saying? The truth is a woman becomes a woman when she's living the fullness of herself, when she gets to know who she is and she designs her life accordingly, makes her own rules and is able to live that in the world and have the impact that she wants to have, whether it's in the business, whether it's in her marriage, whether it's with her friends, her nonprofit, whatever. So at the Academy for Womanhood, we teach, we have courses, we have teachers, and we have both in-person and online opportunities for women, for girls to really cultivate growing into women. And so if you go to my Facebook page, Naima Singletary, you'll find a link to our blog, and you get to learn about me and just other things I'm involved in with people like David. So we'll be back here next week, same time, same place, and I just want to do a final call. For questions, push star 5, and I'm going to get clear on this for next week, and I apologize. So try star 5. If it doesn't work, try star 2. The recording is going to be in the Facebook group, and that Facebook group is called Unapologetic Woman Radio.
Hello?
And transformational coach, and she'll be joining me here to talk about the different, her version and her way of helping women to transform in their lives. So, David, thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you more. Like, I feel like we've just begun, and so I want you to keep the door open for future possibilities, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, darling. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.